Shalom, damn it, shalom! This is Rabbi Saul Solomon talking to you from the radio waves of the University of Northern Colorado, uncradio.com. I am so thrilled that my good friend Dave Lefkowitz allowed me to get on the microphone with you this fine Saturday morning to talk about my show, Shalom, damn it, an evening with me, Rabbi Saul Solomon, which will be playing in New York at the Richmond Shepherd Theater March 13th through the 17th of this very year. It is only days away, so I expect you all there because we need the money. It's only $18 to get in, so don't be cheap. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. Come to the Richmond Shepherd Theater, 309 East 26th Street, right near 2nd Avenue. So when you're done with the show or before the show, you can maybe go to Katz's Delicatessen for some delicious non-kosher but still delicious food. Or maybe wander around the Bowery and hit up some bums for the $18 to get into the show. Whatever you want to do, make sure you come to it. ShalomDammit.com is the website to find all the information about the show. ShalomDammit.com. But you know, I could get in here and get on the microphone and wax rhapsodic about the show. How brilliant it is. How we talk about all sorts of aspects of Jewish life. From the Middle East to Christianity, to the Holocaust, to Hebrew, to Yiddish, and the wonderful things and the hilarious times that we have in this show. But it wouldn't be as interesting as being able to talk to the person who's going to be with me on the stage of the Richmond Shepherd Theater. He is the musical director for the show. He is playing the piano with his own fingers, and his own name is Richard Shore. You may know him from the University of Northern Colorado because he plays the music here for a lot of the shows and shows in rehearsal. So, Richard, let us make sure your microphone works. Shalom to you on the Saturday morning. Good Shabbos.
Shalom, Rabbi. Good Shabbos back to you.
Okay, can you get a little bit closer to the microphone here?
Is that any better?
Let me see. Talk a little more. Let me hear you on the mic.
Shalom, good Shabbos.
Oh, very
it's
good.
A nice Saturday. Is that better?
It's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely
wonderful.
So, are you excited about being part of Shalom Damit?
I am so amazingly thrilled. I can't tell you. I'm shivering in my boots. I'm so excited.
There's a little yellow puddle forming by your boots.
Sorry. I'll mop that up after we're done.
Please do that, please, because otherwise the puddle will be here for weeks. The way they keep up this radio station. But let me ask, how did you initially get into playing music?
Well, I was about 7 years old, so this is a long time ago, and my brother and my sister both played music, and I felt a little left out, and I asked my parents if I could take piano lessons.
Okay, and they said, I assume they said yes.
They said yes, and it took us forever to find a piano teacher who was actually willing to sit down and spend 40 minutes with me every week, but we found somebody, and I stuck with it, and it's been a long time now.
At what point, though, did you realize that you weren't just the average kid playing piano and then learning scales and a few songs, but knowing that, oh, I'm pretty good at this, I can make music something of a career?
It wasn't until, actually, I was in grad school. I went to grad school because I didn't have anything else to do. I didn't know what to do with my life, so I decided to be a professional student. And I spent one summer... two summers. But the first summer that I did this, I was teaching at a summer program for high school kids.
Uh-huh.
And I was working with some of the teachers from my graduate program. And I played one day, and I had one of those special moments with the kids where...
Bangs Fulkerson moment, I hope.
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. This was a good thing. We were performing a song, and my teacher was coaching us, giving us instructions on how to work on the song.
Uh-huh.
And we had one of these special moments where just something clicked when we were performing the song, and it was a different experience afterwards from before.
Hmm.
And I just felt everything sort of change in that instant. And then I was out to lunch with them later that day, and my teacher said, and he wasn't a real effusive guy, didn't give a lot of compliments. And he said to me that I did a really, really good job, and he reached over and he pat me on my back. And it wasn't until then, and I was, probably 27 or so at the point, and it wasn't until that moment that I realized I was going to spend the rest of my life doing music.
Is piano your only instrument? Do you play other...
I don't play other instruments. I do sing some, and I conduct.
Right, okay.
But I don't play, like, clarinet or saxophone or anything.
Or guitar,
like
even.
Or not
piano
even guitar,
is your,
no. Piano
your...
is my axe.
So how do you... It's interesting because you're so busy and you're so busy accompanying people. Do you practice? Do you warm up? Or you don't have to because you're always practicing because you're always playing?
I pretty much just sit down and play. You know, sometimes if I'm working on something for a performance, because I play for a lot of classes and I just do a lot of sight reading. But if I'm getting ready for a performance... obviously things have to be at a more polished level. So I'll practice for those things. But I don't do normal warm-ups and scales and etudes and things like that. I just don't have the time.
Of course, of course. And have you ever done classical piano?
My graduate degrees are in classical collaborative piano, it's called.
What the hell is that?
It used to be called accompanying. And then somebody decided that it was not a politically correct term because it makes you sound inferior to the people you're playing for or with. So now it's called collaborative piano. And what the degrees were was essentially obviously working on my piano technique, but I spent most of my time coaching and playing for singers and playing chamber music. And that's what I got. I actually have a master's and a doctorate in that.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
there's a doctorate in accompanying collaborative piano.
Uh huh.
It's called a doctorate in collaborative piano.
I have a doctorate of musical arts in collaborative piano, and actually,
I cannot
prove this.
Yeah.
Beyond a complete doubt, but I was the first person at my school to get a doctorate in collaborative piano. And it's quite possible that ours was the first program in the country that called it that. So I could actually be, and I think I am, or pretty close, the first person in the country to get a doctorate in collaborative piano.
Mazel tov! Oh my goodness! You are a pioneer. You are a trailblazer in the field.
I guess so. I need to put the fire out at some point, but yeah, I was at least first at the school. But like I said, I think we were the first in the country.
My great-great uncle Schmolke was the first pianist to play the dark notes. I did not know this. Really? Everybody before him, it was like Irving Berlin. Everybody just played in the major scale. And then he's like, oh, you know, there's these other keys up there. Let me touch them. History. Who knew?
Wow. That's impressive.
Thank you.
I have to say, I'm honored to be in the presence of a relative.
Well... So am I. Well, I'm relatively honored. That's just comedy right there. So you have been at University of Northern Colorado for how long?
On and off for 12 years. I used to work here back when I first moved to Colorado. And then I...
You went off. Huh? Yeah, then you went off.
Then I went off somewhere else. I was freelancing for a long time. And now I'm back. I've been back for a couple of years now. And it's working out pretty well.
Are you a Colorado native?
I am from the area of Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, my goodness. So was Berkeley, or were you educated in...
No, I was educated in the Boston area. I did my undergraduate degree. I have a bachelor's from Harvard.
Good God!
And I did my master's and my doctoral degrees at Boston University.
Woof! My goodness. Now, let me tell you something. You're very lucky Dave Lefkowitz is not here in the room with us right now, because David Lefkowitz was rejected from Harvard. They would not let him in. And so there's a great deal of pain and envy, I'm sure, in his soul as he listens to this. He's not listening. He's getting
Harvard,
a bagel, but yeah.
Harvard is known for making mistakes every now and then, so I'm sure they look back on it now, and they must have an element of regret to it.
Well, was Harvard so incredibly wonderful? Was it so much better than every place, than UNC, than the other place, than Boston University? Or was it Depending on the teacher, depending on the day.
Depending on the teacher, depending on the day. It's a college. And, you know, when you're there and you're in the middle of everything, you don't necessarily think there's anything special about it. Because everyone else around you is doing the same thing. And it's really, even when you graduate, if you're still in the Boston area, there's nothing special about it. It's only after you leave the East Coast and there are fewer of us around that it really seems to become special. One thing that happens to me here a lot is I don't go around advertising the fact I went to Harvard. You know, I don't say it.
Because you get your ass kicked, but all right. Yeah,
really. And so I work with a lot of musical theater students, undergrads, and I'm giving them instruction or I'm helping them with a song or I'm trying to get them to do this, I'm trying to get them to do that. They don't necessarily want to do what I tell them to do. You know, they're sort of, well, who is this guy? I know more than him. And then somewhere along the line, somebody will say to them, well, you know, he went to Harvard. And then all of a sudden they start doing what I ask them to do and treating me with some respect.
That's helpful. That's good. Has being from an Ivy League kind of written your ticket so that you have always been able to work? Has there ever been any difficulty, like getting a job in academia or anything like that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I haven't gotten every job I've applied for.
What the hell? If Harvard's on the resume, that isn't an automatic, like, welcome, here's the gold card, there's the key in the men's bathroom.
I think it's a plus, but it's not an automatic in. I think, you know, they see Harvard. I do know a couple of jobs I have gotten because they see Harvard on my resume, and they're interested in talking to me. So there are a couple of jobs I've definitely gotten, a couple of interviews I've definitely gotten because of it, but I haven't automatically gotten the job in the end.
I know that University of Northern Colorado has gotten me a gig at Arby's. This was, you know, it's janitorial, but there's room for movement.
Well, and I don't want to think what sort of movement, but mazel tov.
Thank you. Well, it's Arby's, you can probably imagine.
Yes.
It's a Chipotle sort of movement, if you get my drift. So, is your favorite thing at the University of Northern Colorado teaching and accompanying the kids, playing for the shows here? What? What is the...
Well, I enjoy working in teaching in the classroom, and the two things I love the most are when I get to work with the students one-on-one, or if they're doing a duet, two-on-one, but in small...
Two-on-one is my favorite, but anyway, yes?
I had a feeling you were going to say that after I went there. I regretted it the second I said it.
I went there, too. I'm sorry.
So if I'm working with small groups of students doing what's called coaching and helping them learn a song, learn to interpret a song, learn what's meant by the song and where their dramatic choices are and their musical choices are, I really love just being able to dig into the music with them and really change their experience of a song. And then the other thing I really love, which is a huge part of my job here, the other thing I don't get to do that much of because of how the schedule is laid out, and because for classes I'm primarily a collaborative pianist,
pianist.
So I don't get much one-on-one time with the students, but when I really do get to do a lot of that is when I'm musical directing the departmental shows every semester, and I work with the leads, obviously, and we really get to dig into the songs, but I also absolutely adore working with the choruses for the shows. We've got a show going on right now, tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Langworthy Theater in Fraser Hall. We're doing a show called Ragtime.
That's right.
We've got a cast of 70 people,
good
which is
vault.
Just astounding. And working with the chorus on this show was just one of the most gratifying experiences I've ever had, because the sound I've gotten out of them and the sound that they make, that they've worked so hard on, it's just, I listen to them on stage making this music, and it's just very moving to me. I don't normally get to watch my shows. I'm normally playing in the pit.
In the pit, that's right.
So I actually get to watch this show and to hear what they sound like. And this may sound a little self-centered, but to know and to feel that I'm greatly responsible for how amazing this music sounds coming from them is really very moving to me, and not something I get to experience an awful lot.
Wow. That's what it's all about, I guess. I wouldn't know because I auditioned for Tata, but didn't get the role, and then I auditioned for Mama, and I didn't get that role either. And
well, we favor musical theater students.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't have been able to do a Friday night performance anyway.
You're right. Or there you go. You made me feel so much better today on so many levels. I can't even begin to tell you. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts about doing Shalom Dammit, an evening with Rabbi Sol Solomon,
Well, I am absolutely excited to be doing a show in New York. I think it's going to be very exciting, and I'm hoping we get lots of people to come to the show. Working with Rabbi Sol Solomon, it's hard to say in front of Rabbi Sol Solomon. It's been edifying. He has many words of wisdom. I enjoy talking with him and rehearsing with him. Strangely enough, I end up after rehearsals with a slight case of heartburn, but that goes away quickly. But in general, Rabbi, I have to say it's been a wonderful experience, and I think that the show is wonderful. Certainly, working on these songs with the lyrics you've written for them, they're hilarious.
Oh, thank you so much, damn it.
They're completely offensive, but they're hilarious.
This is dead.
And so I think it's got something going for it on both fronts there.
In fact, they're completely hilarious, but offensive too. I like to switch that around. They're just. Just to be annoying.
It works both ways. It's sort of the transitive property there.
Oh, my goodness. You are a teacher. There you go. So
it's the doctor in me coming out.
Everybody, please come. Well, I mean, if you're in Colorado, it would be difficult. But if you're not in Colorado, you're getting on a plane, you're living in New York, you're in the New York area, which includes Connecticut, New Jersey, Maine, parts of Detroit. Come to Shalom Dammit, an evening with Rabbi Sol Solomon playing at the Richmond Shepherd Theater, 309 East 26th Street. They're mostly matinees. So if you have an old and indigent relative who can't get out at night, you can take them during the day. They'll be home before dark. It's 2 o'clock on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have one night show at 7:30. Then Thursday through Saturday, also at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I know, Shabbos, March 13th through the 17th. For more information, visit shalomdammit.com. D-A-M-M-I-T. Shalomdammit.com. Get your tickets. You can pay by credit card at brownpapertickets.com or just reserve. Please, we would love to see you at this wonderful, exciting, and deeply offensive show. Richard Shore, I want to thank you so much for being in the Hebraic neighborhood with us on this particular Saturday. Give a great shalom and brachim haba'im to our listeners.
My pleasure, Rebbe. Thanks for having me.
It's been a joy. Thank you so much.